I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
Oh my mama made it, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, a Kyrie when he make a trade, and nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King locked on trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game, it's very important, Millie's.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us one more time on your daily routine, Monday through Friday. You will find us, the Rain and Jays, me, John Corrales. Find me on Twitter at RedsArmy_John. Him, my post-game partner, Sam Jam Packard. You find him on Twitter at Jam Packard. Sam is at the Garden, outside the players' family room. So if you hear raucous celebration, it's because the Celtics players' families are celebrating an improbable, unlikely, whatever thing you want to call it, 99-98 win over the Houston Rockets that featured James Harden getting busted for two offensive fouls in the last 10 seconds of the game, and the Celtics completing a ridiculous 26-point comeback to win the game by one. Just a holy shit game that I honestly, that first half I thought was as predictable as possible, that these guys were going to get waxed. The schedule was just ripe for them to get waxed. The Rockets came in and did that for the half. And then the second half happened, and the Celtics found a way to turn it around, Sam.
This game makes zero sense. It was definitely a tale of two halves, but I just don't know what changed during halftime. Brad Stevens just said his only advice was go get him. Of course it was. This is absolutely absurd. The Celtics had no business being in this game, but they made it their business, and it was really just started with just much more playing with much more energy in the third quarter. Abdel Nader, who gets crapped on all the time on Celtics Twitter for no good reason, he came in and provided a huge spark off the bench to start the third quarter. I just thought they played with such better energy, especially on the defensive end, to start that third quarter. And it continued over into the fourth. I mean, it takes a lot to make a 26-point comeback, and they had plenty of chances at the end. I didn't know if they were going to pull it out, but of course, the king of flopping, the most annoying player in the NBA, I'm sure, to play against, Marcus Smart, Mr. Impact's winning himself, comes up huge in the end. I didn't know how they were going to do it, but I'm so happy that it was Marcus Smart drawing an offensive foul call on the like presumptive MVP of the league. Like, it's not every day you see that call be made. And Tony Brothers and the rest of the refs, the only two of them being on the court, it was a ridiculously officiated game for the entire time. And I think there was arguments to be made on both sides for some horrendous calls, but this was absolutely absurd. Like, a terrible, terrible first quarter. But they showed tremendous resiliency and just their ability to fight back in the third quarter and the fourth quarter and really, like, lock down on the defensive end. There are so many times Harden was just trying to get to the rim, and normally you see him draw fouls there or make some ridiculous finishes, which is something he still did. But the Celtics, when it mattered, got stop after stop after stop, and this was for a lot of the game without Al Horford. That third quarter, Horford was not in the game during the majority of their comeback, and they just played very solid defense, starting with the kind of that smaller guard lineup of Rozier, Shane Larkin, another guy who came in off the bench and had just, I thought, great minutes. They just brought the energy in that second half, and you know what? When you play with heart, good things tend to happen.
Yeah, look, I've been on this whole thing about the schedule, and I got into it with people on Twitter tonight, and I still think the schedule is a problem. And you know, it is what it is. You got to play the games that are in front of you. But if the Celtics had played this game in Houston, that would have been a wire-to-wire 40-point blowout. And sometimes I do think that the home crowd stuff is overblown, but tonight I really do believe that there was an element because, look, they started that first quarter. We got to remember that first quarter was, I mean, that third quarter, I should say, the beginning part of the third quarter was a continuation of the first half. They came out of the half and it was not looking great at the beginning of the third quarter. But then there were a couple of bad calls. And no one will say that the officiating was good tonight. It was pretty bad. And I will also say that two officials, I don't know why there wasn't a third official. Has that ever been explained, by the way?
The third official had like a bad sore back and couldn't go tonight. And I thought that they like NBA traveled a spare official for that exact scenario, but that was not the case tonight on national television. They just had two subpar ones instead.
Yeah, two officials is bad for an NBA game.
Tony Brothers is not a real name. I'm not convinced that that's a real name. It's a fake name, but he was bad tonight. But the bad ref calls were spread out evenly across both referees.
Yeah,
it wasn't
horrible.
Just Tony Brothers.
And so there was, to me, there are a couple of bad calls in the third quarter. The Celtics go in a little bit of a run, and then there was a block by Aaron Baines.
Oh my God, that call was atrocious.
That call was just universally reviled, but it did something, I think, because the entire arena just lost its shit. And when a team is exhausted, and I will die on this hill, the Celtics are exhausted. That right now, everything that they put everything that they had out there, right now they are sitting there in that locker room just dead. But adrenaline is a funny thing. And it gets you to do things that you don't normally think you can do. And all of a sudden, when you're at home and your crowd is going nuts and the call is so egregiously bad that you all of a sudden get this jolt, like, and you're losing your mind against the officials, and that exhaustion just goes to anger, and then the crowd is angry, and now the reaction when the Celtics do a good thing, it's not just a good thing, it's a good thing in spite of the bad thing that just happened, and the crowd goes especially nuts. And when you do something and the crowd goes especially nuts, you get a little twinge, you get a little something, that adrenaline starts to shoot through you. And next thing you know, exhaustion gives way to just pure adrenaline-fueled muscle memory. You start to do things you didn't think you can do. And in that situation, as the crowd continues to feed you, that is a real thing. That is a real thing. The crowd, the home crowd, losing their mind, and the Garden was just rocking, electric during this entire thing. That fuels guys, especially guys who are at the end of the bench. Like, those guys are much more fueled by emotion than Kyrie Irving isn't necessarily as fueled by the emotion, but a guy like Terry Rozier, a guy like Shane Larkin, a guy like, I mean, Abdel Nader had a good first half. He kind of didn't play in the second half. A guy like Marcus Smart, excuse me, a guy like Marcus Smart, who is just an emotional motherfucker anyway. Those guys, that stuff happens, and they just all of a sudden reach a place like we joked about this before, but like the Will Ferrell debate scene where he just blacks out and is awesome and doesn't realize what he's been doing. Like, that stuff it's real. I mean, I know I felt it in a much smaller sense, but that moment, I really think that egregiously bad call and the double text and the crowd just getting into it fueled something. And the Celtics got into a place where they just started making plays. Those hustle plays started happening again. In the first half, they weren't making those 50-50 plays. And the Rockets just kind of, I think, kind of crumbled. They
they stopped making shots. Look at the numbers. In the first half, the Houston Rockets hit 47% of the shots, 10 of 24 from three. They were 21 of 44 from the field in the first half. In the second half, they were nine of 36. So 21 of 44 in the first half, 9 of 36. The Houston Rockets on this big historically awesome opening to their season hit 9 shots in a half. Just 4 threes in a half. They were shook. The Celtics defense made adjustments. That crowd, though, I think that atmosphere shook the Rockets and fueled the Celtics.
The crowd definitely had a huge impact on this game, and I'm going to have to take some credit for it because for the first half, I was in the halo, and then I said, oh, we got to change the mojo of this game. I got to move downstairs. So I was sitting amongst the crowd kind of in the baseline extended media area, and you could feel it. Like, definitely after that foul, the double tech felt really stupid at the time because that was a 4-point swing there. But the crowd was – they wanted blood, and – when they, I think they cut it to like something like 12, and you just knew that as soon as it got to single digits, the crowd was going to go absolutely insane. And I think that it all started with Marcus Smart being incredibly pissed off. Marcus Smart did not want to lose this game and did not want to play like the team did in the first quarter where they had 8 turnovers. They were very bad. And Marcus Smart in that third quarter had 2 blocks on one on James Harden, one on Bronte Weber. I thought he was just swarming to the ball all night. I thought Tatum did a really good job on defense. His length, being the help defender in the pick and roll, and really just kind of just being as big as possible and allowing Smart to get back to James Harden. The Rockets were trying to get James Harden to a big, and generally there's no bigs in this league that can stop James Harden on the perimeter. But I thought the Celtics did a really good job of kind of containing Harden after the pick and allowing the guard to get back to him. And then they just kept on getting stops, and the stops fueled the momentum, and the crowd kind of got into it. Then we got some ISO Mook. They just kept on chipping away. And I definitely think the crowd and the general energy and the general just anger and how furious everyone was at the call, I think, had a huge impact because the Rockets, and I think James Harden specifically, are used to driving to the basket and getting just every single foul call. And he was clearly frustrated tonight. And I don't know if the two refs affected that, but it felt like in the second half when he went to the rim, the Celtics met him there and didn't really. I know he went, I think, 15 from 15 from the foul line, but it didn't feel like he had a huge impact from the foul line in the second half. And I think the Celtics guards did a great job of just swarming him, and the weak side help on pick and rolls just did a great job of going straight up. And that the defense is really what won this game. After scoring 62 points in the first half, they held the Rockets to only 36 in the second two quarters with 16 points in the third quarter. That was where they really made the majority of this comeback, was in that third quarter. And it was just, I think Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Shane Larkin, Terry Rozier, oh my God, all those guys just had a huge game on defense, and I think that was the major catalyst for the comeback.
Yeah, look, Terry Rozier has been great the past couple of games. He was huge in this one. The second half, he came up pretty big. Let's look at his second half numbers. 4 of 5, 11 points in the second half. Wow, 4 of 5, 2 of 3 from 3. 4 rebounds and assists, a couple of steals, plus 14. Just a beautiful performance in the second half by Terry Rozier. He's been not only playing defense, he's been gliding in for dunks. He's been clutch and doing things that we're not used to him doing. So shouts to Tito for stepping up. Let's give a shout out to Shane Larkin, an unsung hero in all of this, because the overall numbers don't say much for Larkin. 15 and a half minutes, 2 points, 2 assists, a rebound. But you know what he did in the second half? He hounded the hell out of James Harden. Hounded the hell out of Harden. Now, can Shane Larkin actually guard James Harden in that? No, he can't. He can't. But you know what he could do? He could pick him up full court like he did and spend some of his time, his whatever minutes he had in the second half, the whatever 4 minutes it was, hounding the hell out of James Harden and forcing James Harden to expend energy and burn seconds off the shot clock and be uncomfortable. That's a big deal. I mean, these guys off the bench, Marcus Morris, who in the first half people were tweeting me, he's no longer useful. He forget Marcus Morris. 0-5 in the first half. He was a minus 15. Well, in the second half, Marcus Morris, 10 points on 4 of 6 shooting, a couple of threes, a few rebounds, a plus 17, a big, big jump for Marcus Morris. Huge in the second half. All of these guys that we kind of discount from time to time, Rozier, Larkin, Morris, they stepped up. I just think it goes to show that in making this whole big comeback, it just takes this big team effort. And as Brad Stevens said, look, you hit singles, you do the right thing, you stop overreacting to what they're doing, you just go and play the way we're supposed to play, and eventually the shots will start to fall. Look, the Celtics in the second half hit shots. They were 23 of 45, 51% from the field. That's a big deal because they were 14 of 37 for 38%, just under 38% in the first half. So to quote Doc Rivers, it's a make-miss league. And in the second half, the Celtics made a lot of shots. Houston missed a lot of shots. And if we're going to oversimplify it, that's what it boils down to. The Celtics defense and that crowd that shook the Rockets, everything played into it. They missed a ton of shots, and the Celtics fed off of that. And overcame that exhaustion and whatever and snapped back into it, and they hit the shots when it mattered.
Yeah, and I mean they recovered from the worst first quarter. I'm just looking back at that stat. They were 5 of 19 with 8 turnovers, and it was just all energy was zapped from the building. But you're right. I think they just turned it up on the defensively. And Larkin, he didn't like finish with the most impressive stat line, but his ability to just tire those people out. I think the combination of him and Rozier, just these long, like super quick. Rozier's longer than Larkin. Larkin's not that long. But just their intensity on defense makes it so much easier. It makes it harder for the Rockets to get into their offense. And I thought they were doing a great job of just pressuring the ball the entire time and just making every single possession for the Rockets difficult. And I have to come back to Jason Tatum. I just thought he was really phenomenal tonight on the defensive end of the court. Only ended up with 2 steals and 1 block, which is kind of shocking to me because I just thought he was all over the court. He's playing at a level right now that is absurd, and I've been on this campaign for the entire season, but he's clearly the rookie of the year. I don't care what Ben Simmons does. He's playing on a sub-500 team. Jason Tatum is impacting winning night after night. He did it tonight. He did it in the Charlotte game. He is just making winning plays and contributing on both ends of the court and actually can shoot the basketball. So the campaign needs to start now. Hell, let's get him in the All-Star game too, because he's just a phenomenal basketball player, and he's only 19 years old, and everything he does is exciting.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Hey, look, Chris Webber backed me up. Chris Webber is a Hall of Fame player, and he said it on the broadcast tonight that guys who are pure rookies, true rookies, have it harder than guys like Simmons or Embiid who have sat out a year, 2 years, because that year or two, you get to experience what it's like to travel. You get to experience what it's like, what time you need to wake up, what time you need to eat, what time you need to go to bed, what time practices are, how hard you need to work out, what the system is, who the coaches are, how the coaches ask you to do things and what they want from you. Even the charity appearances and just all of the things in your outside life that change in the NBA, you get used to that after a year. Jason Tatum and the other rookies in this class, because there are a lot of great rookies in this class. I just don't want to make this about Tatum. Every pure rookie, every true rookie has to learn all that stuff on the fly and also perform on a night-to-night basis. They don't understand. They go from one game one season where they're college players, and all of a sudden they're pro players, and they're just doing it. I know that Ben Simmons sat out a year, but in his rehab, he has a picture in his mind. Okay, I need to prepare for this. I have a year to rehab, and then I have all of this time to get myself prepared for an NBA season. I know what an NBA season expects of me. I will prepare myself for that. Jason Tatum played in the tournament. Next thing you know, he was in the draft. Next thing you know, he was at Summer League, and now he's playing an NBA season. And, oh, by the way, he's playing one of the worst first half schedules you're ever going to find, and he's still performing at just ridiculous level. Another 19-5, two steals and an assist tonight, and he didn't even shoot great tonight. He missed all of his threes. I don't even remember the last time he missed all of his threes, but he's just been awesome. So I'm all for a special award for pure rookies who didn't miss any time. I just think that that should happen. There should be something separate. And I understand the argument that, well, Simmons or whomever else didn't play, so this is their first time playing, their first minutes playing as a rookie, and they are a rookie, technically. I get it. There's nothing that's going to actually change, but it's different, and I will stand by that forever.
Yeah, the thing that really impressed me about Tatum tonight was he had his career high in free throw attempts. It felt like he was really attacking the basket in transition, just in the half court offense. It's what the Celtics didn't. It felt like they didn't rely on the three tonight. I mean, it certainly was useful. Terry Rozier, Tito Three Sticks, he did his thing in kind of getting them back into the game, but they only had four threes in the second half. They really got back to this game by attacking the basket. And I think the fact that Clint Capella was not in the game was a huge factor in that, because it really felt like the Celtics, especially late, could get to the rim with relative ease. And I mean, layups are much easier to hit than threes. And it was a huge reason why they could kind of steadily chip away. But I thought Tatum did a great job tonight of just attacking there. And then another stat that I just saw come across Twitter, James Harden tonight, when defended by Marcus Smart, was 0-for-7 with four turnovers, and includes the two offensive fouls in the final seconds. But I mean, so that's, I feel like I've said it 17 times, but that's my story of the night, is just Marcus Smart refusing to lose. And Jason Tatum just being amazing. And we haven't even talked about the two major stars of this team, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford. I think this might have been Al Horford's worst game of the season, and he still found a way to make an impact late. He looked dead tired in the first half, but you know what? He's a veteran. They relied on him. He got the go-ahead bucket at the end of the game. I thought he had some really good defense on Harden late at the rim. And then Kyrie was just Kyrie. There was that one go-ahead three that he took that, you know what? I said it last night. Sometimes you just got to let Kyrie chuck. Wasn't my favorite shot selection, but you know what? He scored. He got his buckets tonight. He was like the only reason they were like scored any points in the first half. And he was another guy who just could get to the rim relatively easy. So the role players definitely stepped up. The stars didn't have their best games, but it was just a great, I guess, team win. And now they actually have 2 days off. They have a scheduled practice on Saturday, which I'm sure Brad Stevens is overjoyed about.
That's crazy. An actual practice? Cue the Allen Iverson clip. Second half scoring from Horford. He had 9 points tonight, but he's had six in the second half, and four of those came in the fourth quarter, including the game winner. So a couple of buckets in the fourth. Kyrie, 3 points, just 3 points in the fourth quarter, but 15 points in the second half. So he definitely played his role. The fourth quarter belonged to Terry Rozier. 8 points in the fourth quarter. How about Tito stepping up with an 8-point fourth quarter? Very well spread out, actually. Smart had 4 points. Tatum had four. Horford had four. Kyrie had three. Morris had five. Just balanced scoring throughout the fourth quarter. Look, this was a game where in the first quarter was so bad that Brad Stevens played like everybody. Everybody got minutes in the fourth quarter. Abdel Nader and Shane Larkin were on the floor together in the first quarter with like just 5 minutes to go. So that was the type of game this was shaping up to be. Jabari Bird got minutes early. He got first half minutes. So that was just a sign of how desperate the Celtics were to try to find something that worked. And they did down the stretch. So it's an incredulous feeling, because they clearly started the game just exhausted. And I know people, there's a fan-driven thing. There's a notion like, oh, they didn't come to play. Well, they clearly came to play. They just, I feel like, you know what? I'm not going to harp on it. I just, people are sick of me talking about the schedule, and I'm done with that. They persevered in the face of all of that. They found energy where it just it shouldn't have been. Like I said before, the crowd fueled something, and they came away with the win. So why don't we just take this opportunity to go to our Rain and Jays hashtag on Twitter. At mburns37, as weird as it sounds, how about a spot on the boat for Abdel Nader? Numbers aren't much, but he came in and competed with the rest of the, when the rest of the team mostly wasn't. I don't think they win without his work. You know, we didn't do a holiday edition of the boat, and maybe next, maybe we'll just save it because this is, I mean, this is the show going into the weekend with a couple of days off. It's you're going to listen to this on Friday, so we'll submit Abdel Nader for consideration when we return and the boat returns on Sunday. It stayed in the dock for Christmas, but we'll talk about it. They play, I think, the Nets on Sunday, so we'll just include everybody. And we'll figure out a special New Year's edition of the boat. Maybe Abdel Nader will make it.
Hey, he certainly he got a shout out from Brad, the first person Brad talked about after the game. So that sounds boat worthy, in my opinion.
Sure, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
At JL Smooth, number one defense is back. Yeah, how about that? I thought the Celtics were gonna they were really on pace to give up 120 points, and somehow they held the Rockets. They gave up 62 points to the Rockets in the first half, still held them to under 100, which is shocking. So, well, shout out to the number one defense. At Jovian Shadow, the only lead that matters, and he's put a game tracker, and there's a whole lot of red, and at the end there's a tiny little bit of green. The Celtics had held a lead for, I think, 2 seconds, and that's all that mattered. Diana Giselle, at Diana Giselle 25. Now that game was some 5-star absolute gourmet breakfast.
Diana's a huge fan of the good breakfast movement, and I 1,000% agree.
I got to get on board with the good breakfast movement. See, I feel like I'm treading on this line in between being the old guy that ruins things and just being on the edge of being cool enough to kind of partake in some of these good breakfast type of things that you kids tend to do. For example,
I wouldn't say it's cool. It's just from the mind of Jay King and his friends growing up. I wouldn't describe them as the most cool people there are.
It's a movement started on the Rain and Jays, the Locked On Celtics podcast. It's damn cool. So I just want to make sure I get in on it while it's still cool. There was a thread going on that I was somehow tagged in that developed, I can't even explain it, this is how out of touch I am, but somehow it became a Bender from Futurama becoming Joel Embiid, and people, I just kept getting tagged in Bender GIFs or images and just applying them to Joel Embiid down the line as a, you know, end of his career, turned into a robot sort of thing. I guess I'm ruining it. I know I am. So,
word of advice is you never explain the meme. You just got to keep going.
No, so here's what happened. I'm explaining what happened. It was Ryan Bernardoni, Jared Weiss, and a couple of other guys, and I somehow was tagged in this, and it was going back and forth. And I'm like, I want to play too. So I did one. And Ryan was like, are you sure you want in on this?
And you did.
And I was like, no, I just want to be part of the group. I just wanted to. And that's I feel like where I am sometimes in this. I'm like, they keep tagging. Like, no one untagged me. So I'm like, all right, I'll play. And it just, you hear the record scratch. And it was like, who let the narc into the room? So I want in on the good breakfast before I sound bad doing it. So I got to find my way into the good breakfast movement.
Just let it come naturally. You can't force these things.
Can't force it. I can't Marcus Smart heat check my way into, I just got to casually Kyrie Irving shot my way into good breakfast.
Or something. I agree 1,000%.
All right. At Touche Bagouche, one of my favorite Twitter handles, if there was a Rain and Jays award analogous to the Tommy Award, who would get tonight's? Ooh, I like it because he also used the word analogous, which is nice. His vote, my vote, Tushar Patel says, my vote is for Marcus. Toss up as to which one, Mook or Smart. So if we had gave a Rain and Jays award similar, analogous to the Tommy Award, who would get tonight's award?
I think it's fairly obvious on my end. I mean, it's the guy who drew the foul call at the end of the game and was playing monster defense the entire night, and who's, I think, just genuine anger fueled the entire comeback. Because there's just he was pretty furious the entire game, especially when they were down by a lot. It's got to go to Marcus Smart. Yeah. He impacts winning. He won this basketball game.
Sure. I'd go outside of that, and I would give mine to Tito Rozier, because I think Tito
third of his name, Tito 3 sticks, third of his name,
Tito 3 sticks. Yeah, that would be my guy. What would we call a Rain and Jays award like that?
Best Jay? I don't know. We'll workshop that one. That was a terrible attempt.
That was bad. I shouldn't have put you on the spot like that.
No, normally I'm good on my feet. I feel like I can improv sometimes. At that time, you got to try. Shoot or shoot. And you know what? I missed that one.
Sometimes you got to let Jam Chuck.
I got to let Jam Chuck.
At Kona King Kahuna. Never give up on the C's. This team has heart. No, never give up.
You know what? I gave up in that second half. That's why I moved down. I was just going to lamp for the second half in the chill with the crowd. I actually thought there was zero chance they were going to win that basketball game, if I'm being completely honest.
I'm with you. I will not lie. At halftime, I thought, well, this is over. And then even the beginning of the third quarter, I thought the same thing. And then, like I said before, that horrible call happened. And I said, well, this is interesting. The crowd's into it. Let's see what happens. And even then, I thought, all right, these guys are going to fade. There's just no chance. The way things are going, the with the schedule and blah, 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 I thought this is a classic setup to fade down the stretch in the fourth, that James Harden was going to do his thing. And it's all going to, you know, it was fun. And I was really honestly preparing myself to come onto this podcast tonight and talk about the sort of moral victory that this was going to be. But it turned out to be an actual victory, such an actual victory that Al Horford and this just crossed. You just retweeted this.
I did. It was an amazing time moment. That was good breakfast.
Al Horford, this was good breakfast, yes. See, this was an opportunity. I got to make sure I take these opportunities. Al Horford and his beautiful eyes on Instagram, just mouth agape, very happy, saying go Celtics on his Instagram story. So look for that. Sam Jampackard at Jampackard just retweeted. And the Celtics did, and this is just going to basically be everywhere. So... good on Al. Where are we on the Rain and Jays hashtag?
The Rain and Jays hashtag is interesting because you have a first half of a lot of anger, and then it just, like, you can slowly see the mood change. It's like it's like the graph you talked about earlier about the Rockets being in the lead. It's just it was a roller coaster of emotions on Celtics Twitter tonight.
Let's just skip it. Let's just go forget the early stuff because it doesn't matter. Let's just get to the junk drawer if you have one.
Oh, I got one.
You got one. So let's junk drawer it up.
Oh, the first thing we got to talk about is the saxophone anthem. I don't know if you were, they showed that on TNT, but that guy murdered it. That was the best anthem I've ever seen. I'm always a fan of saxophone anthem, but that guy held a note for probably 35 seconds and then did a little freestyle on the last line. It chills down my spine. It was amazing. Saxophone anthem every single time. Way better than anyone singing it. 1,000% for saxophone anthem.
Blowing that saxophone like the Rockets blowing a 26-point lead.
Saxophone.
That's a quality Simpsons reference.
That's a deep cut right there. Gerald Green came back tonight. Got less of a welcome than I was expecting, but I thought it was also funny he was playing in Trevor Ariza's shoes, and I did not see him drink hot chocolate at any moment, but I just wanted to give his due respect because he basically single-handedly won them the Bulls series last year. So shouts to Gerald Green.
Absolutely.
Ironic cheers when the refs finally call a foul is fantastic. And even better than that is sitting right in front of like a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old when the bullshit chant starts going on, and then you slowly hear, and then they join in, and I was just like, oh man, that's Boston sports in a nutshell right there. Just hearing a 6-year-old yell bullshit at the right moment, perfect time to start that chant. It was great. Jaylen Brown wearing some professor glasses today looked real cool. I don't know if anyone caught his outfit on the sideline. And then Semi Ojeleye, I have to shout out Efren Ramos right now. He used the Reigning Junk hashtag and said Semi got voted worst dresser last year. He really stepped it up. He's wearing a nice suit. I thought he looked good. And then finally, just Jay King had to jump in on the Reigning Junk. He was complaining about the Celtics playing Ricky Martin or some Ricky Martin type crap during a timeout. Uno, dos, tres. This is the worst damn song to play when the team is on a huge run. And I just appreciate, I feel like Jay King's been dabbing, getting a little more into the pop culture tweets recently, and I'm all for it. Jay King displaying he's a true Renaissance man.
Yeah, look, if there's anything I've ever said about Jay King, it's that he's got his finger on the pulse of pop culture.
He made a Wire reference tonight. It was inaccurate, but he made it anyways.
That makes perfect sense for Jay.
It was improvement. I can appreciate that. And that's going to wrap it up for the junk drawer, because the game was too exciting for me to focus on other inane crap.
Yeah. Hey, look, let's just soak it in. Soak it in. The Celtics come back from 26 points down. They held one lead for 2 seconds of this game for 47 minutes and 58 seconds or so. The Celtics trailed, and then they didn't, and they won this game 99-98. Do yourselves a favor and just take a look at some of the things James Harden is saying. Just go look at his quotes.
Oh, he mad. He real mad online right now.
He is very mad online. And I am enjoying it. And it's a guy complaining about the referees. Of course, he got called for two fouls, two offensive fouls at the end. But he's also James Harden, who shot 15 free throws. So just let's be self-aware, James Harden. And that's where I'm going to leave it. If you are a subscriber to the show, you know what to do. Go right now. Give us that Christmas gift that we've been waiting for. You didn't get us anything. Just give us 5 stars and a nice review. So when people stumble across the Locked On Celtics podcast and they say, oh, look at all these 5-star reviews and look at all of these nice things that people are saying, I want to listen and subscribe. That helps us out a great deal, because the more people that listen, the more the advertisers pay us. And we like to get paid for this work that we do, because we're here for you 5 days a week, most weeks. So do that. If you're not a subscriber and you're one of those people who just stumbled across, then come on. Look at this. Look at this show that we just did for you. This is a great show. You got to subscribe to this, right? Go ahead. Hit the button. Pull the trigger. Tell your friends. Spread the word that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.